How can I be Emma Gonzalez?
You're the driver of the car.
I am the driver of the car.
Interviewing people behind you in the car. They're singing.
They're playing music in the back. They're talking about life as they know it today, sometimes about Elvis, but it's really about America today.
And The King opens.
The King is in theaters right now in New York. It's at the IFC Center downtown and at the 57th Street Landmark on the West Side. We need people to come out so that the message of this film can spread.
Eugene Jarecki, documentary filmmaker. His latest movie, The King, tracks the rise and fall of Elvis Presley's career, using it as a metaphor for the State of the Union and how we arrived at the Trump era. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for a full-time news producer position in New York City. Visit democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is KBOO Portland. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and the Northwest String Summit, now in their 17th year, providing a family-friendly music camping festival featuring Green Sky, Bluegrass, Yonder Mountain String Band, and more. July 19th through July 22nd at Horning's Hideout in North Plains. Tickets and more information online at stringsummit.com.
KBOO Community Radio cordially invites you to the Women of KBOO Celebration and Open House on Friday, June 29th from 7 to 10 p.m. It's here at the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Join us for the open house and an evening of on-air programming hosted by Barbara Bernstein and featuring Carol Major, Victoria Stapiello, and Maureen Key. We're celebrating the contribution of women volunteers, DJs, on-air hosts, staff, and board members in making KBOO what it is today. Light snacks and drinks will be provided. Everyone is welcome. Again, that's the Women of KBOO Celebration and Open House. It's on Friday, June 29th from 7 to 10 p.m. at KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Southeast Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor IRANFORM, U.S. Withdrawal from Nuclear Agreement and Path to War, on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. The IRANFORM will feature Jamal Abdi, Executive Director of the National Iran American Council, journalist Reese Ehrlich, and local speakers in a discussion about withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal. The sponsoring groups are involved in prevention of war and in supporting diplomacy and friendship with the people of Iran. Again, that's the Iran Forum U.S. Withdrawal from the Nuclear Agreement and Path to War on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis and Albany area, and KBOO.fm over the World Wide Web. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott, and today is the 25th day of June 2018, or as some of our retailers might want to remind you, you only have 6 months left until Christmas. So hurry up and do your shopping. And today is Monday, June 25th. And although we may talk about shopping, Celeste and I thought that we might talk a little bit this morning about people's habit, and this is in regards to tipping service workers. What's the policy? How do things happen? Do you tip? Do you tip 15% or 20%? Are you a service worker who depends on tipping? Are you employed in a state which gives a tip credit to employees, thereby justifying a lower wage for workers who depends on tips? It's usually a much lower rate than the general minimum wage for workers general. That is not the case, I understand, in Oregon or California, but in most states, except for seven, according to my research, have a lower wage for those wait staff. So this morning we thought we would talk about it, not only the injustices that wage workers face, but in particular wait staff, but what are people's policy, personal policies in terms of tipping? We want to invite you, if you are a worker who depends on your tippings to be able to pay your bills, or if you are an employee, or even if you are, someone who have ever eaten at a restaurant or taken a cab or a service, do you tip? Give us a call. We'll be interested in hearing your perspectives. You may call us in the studio at 503-231-8187. And that's the number to call, 503-231-8187. And our engineer said, I gave the right number. Yes, 503-231-8187. And while I'm assuming things, so I'm assuming that if workers have a lower minimum wage and depends on tips, that maybe we ought to agree that tipping is proper. People depend upon that to be able to meet their obligations. So it isn't, some people say, well, it depends on the service. If they give me good service, I tip. If not, I don't tip. For me personally, I think regardless of service, if people have a lower wage, then certainly we should work to change the wage so that those who are employed as such, they might get a decent wage. And as we have heard on Democracy Now! In terms of the Poor People campaign, how people are working, poor people, working people are standing up and making their voices heard. So we might be interested in hearing some of those thoughts. Now, Washington, D.C. has voted recently in the past couple of weeks to raise the minimum wage for tip employees to $15 an hour, which is equal to the pay of non-tip employees. And of course, there are pushback by the restaurant businesses who are fighting against it. The law will require that businesses have the minimum wage raised to $15 an hour by July 2025. The current minimum wage for tip workers in the District of Columbia, the nation's capital, is $3.33. And in cases where tips did not cover up to $12.50 an hour, employees are required to pay the difference. That may not be the case in our state of California, But in most states, there's a lower lower wage, minimum wage for such employees. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Do you tip? What are your policies in terms of tipping? And do you work and do you depend on tips for your to help you meet your obligations? Let's hear your voices, and all voices, all people are invited to call. Let's go to a caller. James, good morning, James.
Good morning. You know, I haven't worked in the industry, but my fiance has worked, and so has my mom. You know, I've spent a good portion of my life, you know, depending on other people to pay my bills with their tips. And I think that tipping is one of those things. It's like, I think we should be doing it anyway. You know, regardless of how much people are getting paid. You know, and that's the biggest problem is the pay scales. Like you were saying, in certain parts of the country, especially on the East Coast, if people aren't making tips, they're literally working slave wages. I mean,
yes.
Darn near close to being put in prison and having to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the audacity of some people. Yeah, I used to have this friend who he was a proud non-tipper. He's like, these people take their jobs just like I took my job. Why should I have to tip them? So anytime we went out somewhere, I let the servers know, hey, homeboy doesn't tip, just so you know. And he would be like, well, why do you tell them that? It's like, well, because I think that if you're a proud non-tipper, everybody should know.
I think that
they should provide you service based on how much you actually care. Because unfortunately, we live in a capitalist society and money talks. Whether you're being nice or you're being mean, money talks. And, you know, and I'm a musician. So it's like when I'm pumping up the tip jar,
right.
You know, I let people know. It's like we have one of our things says, a tip is like a warm hug without all the awkward body contact. You know, it's true, because it's like you can, you know, compliments are nice, but compliments don't pay the bills. If we had another social structure that didn't allow people to have to depend on tips to make ends meet, I take compliments all day long. I love people telling me how good I am at what I do. You know, my fiance is good at what she does, but the problem is that's not enough. And people, and especially with the, because she worked in Milwaukee, and you know, and they're working on raising the minimum wage up to $15. And the place she worked at, they raised their prices almost like in what do you call that, like they were angry, so they raised the prices a whole bunch, because you know, they're a family that can afford to travel to China, you know, because they have family in China. They can travel to the islands because they have family in the islands. And you know, it was almost like it was raised up like almost in just in anger. And I mean, luckily it wasn't one of those places where they put on the bottom, you know, like some of those places where they're like, oh, the price increase is due to, you know, servers getting an increase in pay, you know,
right.
Like they're going to put it on them.
On the workers.
Like paying people a fair wage is like, it's detrimental, but that's almost what it comes down to, because if we had a cost of living that rose with the cost of living, we would be okay. You know, it's like would be at $22 an hour, and that would be enough to live right now, because in order to get a one bedroom apartment minimum wage, you have to be making at least $22-$23 an hour.
Hey James, you raised several great points, and I'm going to see whether or not other people respond in terms of you identify people who depend on tipping. Not only in terms of restaurants, but such people such as yourself as musicians, people who are having a habit of not tipping. And the question of what is a fair and equitable wage. Thank you.
Yeah, Yeah, no problem. Thank you for bringing this up. This is an important topic. I hope more people who depend on tips call in, or people who have been dependent on tips in the past, because this is a really huge social issue right now.
Yes, it is. Hey, thank you so much for calling.
Yep, have a great day.
You too, James. And again, this is KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. Our topic this morning is tipping. The mega question, as James suggested, is our economic system. But the micro question is in terms of persons on policies on tipping. Give us a call, whether you tip or do not tip, or as James wanted to also hear, as I think we all do, people who depend on tipping. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller, Don. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, pretty good. Things have been
Okay. So what are your thoughts on tipping?
I wanted to mention an excellent book that I just read. It's entitled The Big Lie, The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left by Dinesh D'Souza.
Dinesh D'Souza, the felon who was convicted and pardoned.
I hadn't heard about that.
Oh, yes. He's a famous right-wing commentator who...
as far as I know, he's not a convicted felon.
He is convicted and has been pardoned.
Convicted of what? Jaywalking?
Okay, I'll look it up, but I'll let you continue your point.
Anyway, he talks about the Nazi roots of the American left. That's why the American left now has all of the classic tactics of the brown shirts.
Well,
the media gremlins are initiating, orchestrating a race war. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Well,
and at the end of these bloodbath revolutions, nothing changes. It's just a new group of gangsters playing musical chairs. I mean, doesn't the left wing realize that that's what happens after these bloodbaths?
Well, you know,
I think it's a bunch of gremlins.
Okay, I think let's talk about more particular you, sir. Do you tip or do you not tip?
Oh, I tip.
And what are your how do you decide on what to tip or who to tip, or does it depend on people's service, or do you have a standard tip regardless?
I wanted to talk about the fascist, anti-fascist.
Well, that's not the topic this morning. We're talking about tipping, but we'll continue. So you tip. Okay, well, thank you so much for calling. Thank you. Let's talk about tipping this morning. And Dinesh D'Souza, who was pardoned by Trump, quite a history. But that's not the topic this morning. Let's go to April. Good morning. Good morning. Are you there? Oh, we might have lost you. We see you. Are you listening? You're on the air, April. So for those of you who would like to call, our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we're talking about tipping this morning, whether or not it's a policy that you depend on for your livelihood, and what are your what do you do in terms of deciding whether or not to tip? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. An earlier caller, James, mentioned as a musician that there's often a tip jar there, and that. It's great to receive compliments, but it's also good to receive tips, because it's easier to pay bills with money than compliments. And let's go. So give us a call. Do you tip or do you not tip? 503-231-8187. And let's go to our next caller. Good. April, are you there?
Yes, I am. Oh. Can you hear me this time?
Yes, we can. Thank you so much for your patience.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to call in and say I always try to tip. I myself am a low-paid service worker, and I can only afford to go out once in a while. And so part of the time I don't tip, and I always feel really bad about it, but I'm not making $15 an hour, and I'm struggling every month to make rent. I don't go out to restaurants because I can't afford it, and a lot of times when I have a choice, I'll go out to a food cart because I know I can't tip, and I really do think the servers deserve it, but I also think it's the fault of the way the system is structured. I mean, everyone deserves a living wage. And, you know, the servers definitely deserve a living wage, but, you know, it shouldn't be up to their customers to supplement that living wage. They should be getting it from their employers.
Right.
And I probably would still tip, you know, because it is a good practice. But, I mean, the reality for a lot of us is we can't.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned, you know, that you share the fact that, you know, you're low-wage workers and you tip what you can when you can. I think that it's testimony to statistics and evidence that those who are lower income are usually more generous.
Because we have more compassion.
We have more compassion,
like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so, so much. And any other thoughts you have to in terms of suggestion for people who are thinking about tipping or by a policy or a proud non-tipper, as James referred to?
Well, I don't know what to say to a proud non-tipper. I don't agree with that. But what I would like to see is not about tipping per se, but more of a movement for workers' rights. I mean, I feel like we had the 15 now, and I don't know about, you know, what went down in the rest of the society, but I do know that my union, I feel, sold us out. I mean, they compromised on 15 by 2025, not 15 now, and we all deserve to be making that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, more by now, because 15 doesn't buy what it did.
No. I know, and I mean, you raise a larger point in terms of strategy, in terms of negotiation, and certainly we all deserve a living wage, and I think at some point in time, 15 was thought of as, you know, as a living wage.
Well, at that time, $16 was what you needed to survive.
Right, and it becomes, it seems as if... it's something as a goal, a talking point, and certainly you are correct. 15 by 2025. I mean, who can survive until then?
I mean, now 15 isn't even enough.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm making close to 15, and I'm really struggling. I'm paying 75% of my income in rent.
Yeah, that's the other point. Yeah. Whatever happened to 30% or 25% for rent?
Yeah, you know, I don't think I've ever paid 30% of my income in rent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much, April, for sharing
people.
Your thoughts.
Okay, bye-bye.
You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 in all points east, 103.4 in points south, and everywhere. It's KBOO.FM. You know, the whole thought about $15 being a minimum wage, when we started asking for it, it was obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that people weren't exercising some measure of strategy. It's a matter of getting real indicators of getting... Let me adjust my mic here. Okay. It keeps turning. There we go. It's rotating like the earth. Getting real indicators of the cost of living, because you know, economists keep switching things out. There we go.
Okay,
that's better.
they keep switching things out, adding and taking, you know, various prices and costs so that we don't have a clear indication by business owner standards, by industry standards. I remember in my union, we kept trying to get a class comparison to find out what salaries should be. And by the time you get accurate information, negotiation windows may have passed. So like Congress may have, or your, especially your local government sessions might have passed, or the time for somebody to pick it up and champion it in the legislature is over. And so you can't get a timely amount that makes a difference. The last I heard, and this was about a year, maybe 8 months ago, is that it costs roughly $70,000 to $74,000 to live in the Portland metro area to get a decent apartment, and we're not talking about a luxury apartment, to be able to afford deposits, rents, gasoline if you have a car, and a car is certainly necessary for some people, and maybe to save some money. And when they were talking about saving, I think it was like 1% of your salary. That's really not enough. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the way we have to deal with the idea of structuring salaries, it makes it really strange that the public is brainwashed with programming that says we must subsidize people's salaries because the industry doesn't want to pay the whole salary.
So it's a larger question in terms of, as other callers have mentioned, in terms of a social economic system.
Mm-hmm.
And the I think the words you use is brainwashed and thinking that we have to subsidize
that salary. It's appropriate.
It's appropriate, mm-hmm. and proper.
And
part of that brainwashing is sort of like, okay, if they don't serve me, you know.
Well, there's lots of little subtle sub-messages in, mm-hmm. that transaction of going out for a service and receiving that service. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have a problem with tipping, but I don't feel like I should have to tip everybody. So, and if you tip one, then why am I not tipping everybody, you know?
And so some people might be like James Friend, who's a proud non-tipper.
Mm-hmm.
And let's hear some of your thoughts. Are you dependent upon tips to you know, pay your bills at the end of the month? Are you someone who are somewhat discriminating with how you use your money and tipping policies?
Are you aware of some of the ways that it is subtly we're manipulated into tipping more? Like if you tip and you use the little scanners on your computer or your phone, those are preset. And so they may be set at 20%, and maybe you're a 10 or 15% tipper. And are you comfortable enough to say, wait a minute, where's the amount I want to tip in front of people? You know, and there's so many little subtle cues. Are you somebody who really likes being able to have that extra benefit of the money, and you don't want the tipping system to go away? It's not that you're greedy. I mean, if you have a situation where you can rake in extra money a month, well, why not?
So our numbers are 503-231-8187, and give us a call to hear your thoughts on tipping. Are we all either tip or are tippers or tippies? Tippers, tippies? Oh, well, we're all related.
Hey, tiptoe through the tulips. Hey, there you go.
I just wanted to let a caller who wanted to quote Denise D'Souza, who has a great history.
Dinesh?
Yes, Dinesh.
Please.
and so he wasn't aware that he pleaded guilty in 2014 for donating $20,000 to a New York politician. He was sentenced to 5 years probation, 8 months in a halfway house, and paid a $30,000 fine. And he was pardoned by President Trump.
Well, well, well. How did he not know he donated $20,000? Is he that rich?
Well,
did
he
it
probably,
fall out of his pocket when, you know, he was at a soiree?
Probably doesn't depend on tips for his living.
Well, they get tips, but they don't call it tips. Remuneration.
Right. So you mentioned in terms of the, you know, the automatic tips that come up when you give them a card. And mm-hmm. what I was unfamiliar with until you slowed, you... Not slaughtered me.
I flooded you with flooded an onslaught.
Flooded me with onslaught of information was that Uber drivers, it isn't automatic, or there isn't a tipping mechanism when you
Well, order? Supposedly they fix that.
Oh, okay.
But you know, here's the thing again with the brainwashing, the programming, the mm-hmm. subtle cues and whatnot. You read articles all the time online where you ought to tip your Uber driver. You mm-hmm. ought to tip them because they're not making enough money to make it off of that salary if you don't tip them. And plus it shows good service. So there's been a subtle shift with the younger workforce entering into the picture of everybody should get a tip. I remember going to coffee shops and getting coffee, and that was it.
And a larger question, you mm-hmm. mentioned Uber, is that in terms of how we're being brainwashed in terms of service industry. But, mm-hmm. you know, there are still cab companies, there are still union cab companies, mm-hmm. there, but that's a whole other program. Let's go to John.
Yeah, when you go overseas, especially Western Europe, when you sit down, the tip is already included in your... your tab,
yes.
whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I know is, well, I'm old enough to know about Ronald Reagan and his little, you know, anti-people thing.
Yes.
But I think it was in his second term that his, well, it wasn't just him, it was the Republican Congress, again, started taxing tips,
yes.
didn't they?
I think that was so later than Reagan, wasn't it?
I think it was late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm not going to, because I was talking to a server some time ago, and this server was pretty much a vintage like me.
Uh-huh. Vintage,
and
I love it.
Well, I'm not going to use that old word. Okay. All right. Anyway, so there was a, okay, if you put a tip on your credit card, I think it's taxable. It could be traced. But if you just pay cash, I think that, you know, you could, you know, kind of get around it.
Mm-hmm.
I that's what, in essence, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, but the deal is, even still, you're supposed to declare your tips now.
Yeah.
And some places pool their tips.
Right.
So, you know, you are paid and you are taxed with an expectation that you will get tips.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge too.
Well, one of your callers example was that somebody was proud that they don't tip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about your nose up in the air and your arrogance, and, you know, if they don't have, you know, bread, let them eat cake.
Yes.
I think anybody that makes under, you know, even $60,000 a year, you know, we're all in the same boat. Yeah, but I'm talking about, you know, financially and struggling like that. So some of these people who just say, you know, ha ha, eat it. I think they're an arrogant little, you know what? You can fill the blanks. No, well, it's just these people. You know, some of these people just, you know, they think they want to be, you know, I don't know what. You know, it's like some people say, well, I vote Republican because, you know, well, that's where the rich and famous, you know, are. Or they're the smart
I got
people,
you.
Democrats.
They want, you that know, fame by association.
Well, they're just in a plastic world. And, you know, it's like that guy who called about that D'Souza, whatever, like that. You know, these people, these radical right people. I could go on. I'm going to stop right there because I'm getting off the subject. But but you know, tipping should just be essential. You know, because they don't make, you know, anything.
But that's not our responsibility to pay that gap.
Well,
see, that's the subtle conditioning. The, you know, if the industry was not so fixated on having such a high profit return, they would pay them appropriate wages. They wouldn't jack up the cost of everything. Some new restaurants I know cut, because I have friends and I have worked in the hospitality and the service industry, so I understand the cost and the profit margins. But the fact is, we have been conditioned to pay their salary when the employers won't.
So,
Oh, you could go across the board on other things. Yes, I understand that. But anyway, it's a subject that's long overdue to be discussed, and I really commend you. You know, you people that bring up, you know, something that's invisible.
Yeah.
But anyway. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Something that you might think about as we take our next caller is that that's very, I understand that philosophically.
Mm-hmm.
But until the revolution comes, I mean,
well,
are you philosophical so strong that you refuse, you think that tipping is wrong because it builds up the capitalist system and...
I don't think tipping is wrong because it builds up the capitalist system. Here's my challenge with it. I think when I get good service, okay, if I go out to eat and I ask the server, do you have this or you have that, and they have to run and get stuff, they're taking care of me and I take care of them because I know I'm not the only person they wait on because I have waited tables.
So,
okay.
So now you're saying...
the service base.
So now you... Okay, now it's
okay.
What I'm hearing.
No, what now, I say is this is what I want. When I want a tip because I get good service, not because the expectation is their salary is so low they can't make it otherwise.
So what I'm hearing is that somehow you feel what they do, you feel like you're responsible for... given them what you deem, you individual deem as good service. And if they don't meet your standard, then you also are paying into this capitalist system by saying, regardless of what you serve me or how you serve me, I'm going to decide how to pay you. And somehow they're dependent.
No, but that's independent of the salary.
But the salary...
See, they should get a salary.
But until they do get a decent salary...
Well, why should... Then me, who is working class still, can't afford to go out.
Let's hear what some of our listeners have to say.
Let's go to Mike.
Mike.
Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, first of all, I think that you guys... are a little narrow-sighted, because first of all, when you're talking about economics, we have to first of all look at 50,000 people crossing the border who will work those jobs and won't even look for a tip. So you can't be for open borders one day and then come here the next week and talk about economic equity.
Yes, I can.
How can you win... you know, if those people are coming over here and they're willing to work these jobs for little or nothing, and you're for that, then how can you be for economic equity in terms of salary?
Now,
this is about a broader issue of salary, but a narrower swath of economics. We're talking about tipping. So, do you tip?
We're talking about economics.
We're talking about tipping. That's the title of the show. So
people,
the question is, do you tip?
Hey, look, I treat people the way how I earn my money. I'm in service, but I'm on commission. Therefore, Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in a salary based position, because everybody knows you'll never get any kind of economic equity when you are working for somebody for a salary. So for me, it's commission. Do I tip? Sometimes it depends. I don't feel obligated to do it, but I'm not going to feel sorry for somebody to choose to go out and make a living like that.
So it sounds like you're saying, I just want to be clear, in terms of for you at least, it's better for the worker and for the service if you live commission rather than salary.
Because definitely. You're going to get better service, you're going to have a more efficient society, and you're going to get people truly based on their worth, on what they produce. Because, you know, there are people, in summer, when people talk about raising the minimum wage and raising this, there are people that will get those salaries and they won't do nothing. Okay. They're there because they know somebody, or, you know, because most people get jobs because they know somebody, not because they're qualified.
Well, so now, I'd have to see some facts on that. I mean, but I get what you're saying. There's the people who are the ride-alongs.
You always talk about facts. I'm going to tell you something that Mark Twain said. There's three types of lies.
Mm-hmm.
Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're always talking about facts, they can be shaved.
But I'm not necessarily asking for statistics, Mike. I'm looking for references so I can read.
What's the difference between a fact and a statistic?
One is number and one doesn't have to be.
So thank you for sharing in terms of your thoughts about tipping and policies. I think you raised a good point in terms of in this discussion about commission versus salary working. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go to Francis.
Francis.
Good morning, Francis. Oh, Francis, have you left us? Francis
Uh-oh.
Has
Can you
left.
Hear me?
Oh, there is. Okay, there she is.
Hi.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to dwell too much on the last call, but if people think that somebody's going to travel thousands of miles to come here just because that's crazy. They're here because that's their only option in life to survive.
Yep.
So, what I was going to say about tipping is that I always tip if I think I can afford to go out to eat, and I make sure I have enough to pay a 20% tip.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise I don't go out. Uh-huh. And I've had family members who have been servers and work in the service industry, and my daughter especially has told me, you know, that's just what we do. And I know that people should be being paid living wage, but as you just said, they're not. So in the meantime, I recall when my daughter was living in South Carolina, I went down to visit, and she was working as a server, and I think their salary was something, two something an hour. Something
yes,
right, roughly $2.35 or something, $3.35.
Yeah, and they had a meal there and some things that had shut down, so the economy was pretty depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And she laughed one day. She said, I think we're actually, she had friends who worked at servers at different restaurants and things, and they would go to each other's restaurants. She said, so sometimes it feels like we're supporting each other,
mm-hmm.
because everybody's going to each other's restaurants and paying tips.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I always do, I don't pay the tip on my card. I pay cash.
Yes.
Because I realize that knowing a lot of people who work in the service industry, it isn't so much the taxes, it's the cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
They may not see it, huh?
If they have access to $5 or $10 in cash today, they can pay bus fare tomorrow, you know.
Get gasoline, buy milk for the kids, you know.
Right, you know, stuff that you need right now.
And that's also a good act, because it's not, I mean, tipping is complex, but the fact that if we pay cash, then that means that they may not have to declare it, which means it doesn't bump them up into a higher salary bracket.
They have to declare an average.
And if you don't get tipped, you're penalized because you're not getting tipped. It's like, well, you must not be serving right. And it's like, well, why don't you just freaking pay me right so I don't have to go through all this, you know?
Everybody should have a living wage.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is now. It's something like $20 an hour would be.
It would be about $30 an hour, depending on your market. In Portland, it would take about $30, $35 an hour.
Who's making that right now? I don't know very many people making $30 an hour. But the other thing that I wanted to say is, if you know how they have the built-in tips, in that when you pay with your card, you can request, and some places even tell me, if you want to pay cash tip, you can get that removed, and you don't have to pay it on your card. You can just give the person the cash. Not that difficult.
Yeah.
Anyway, peace and everything.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO.FM. And coming up at 9, oh, my gosh.
Synchronicity.
Well, no, it's you know, whenever we talk about the president.
Oh, yes.
So Trump's trade theatrics could lead to economic crisis.
Well.
A review of the short novel Chemistry that explores women in science and local protests of the notorious misogynist Jordan Peterson.
Oh, my. Yeah, we were going to talk about that, but we haven't been able to get back, hear back from an author of an article that I read. But it's kind of a loose series we're doing on media perceptions of manhood, demonstrations of manhood, difficulties of manhood, which is why following Father's Day, it was just incumbent upon me to really celebrate fathers, because I don't think enough of the positive things that men do are mentioned. We know what's done wrong, but we want to support those that are doing right.
And at 10 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein talks to the Sightline Institute about the struggles in Tacoma, Washington to stop fossil fuel development. At 11 on Making Contact, explore the fight over rent control. A political battle between two polar worldviews. And at 11:30, Voices for the Animals look at the practice of carriage horses, portrayed as a romantic ride for two, but actually steeped in suffering for the horses.
For some of them, for sure.
Yeah. All these on KBOO. Programs are made possible by you, the members and listeners. So if you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on donate.
Donate now.
So maybe talking about tipping.
That's why we took it out. And don't call it the tip jar anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Donate now. Do you tip? Do you depend on tips to survive? What type of work do you do? We heard from a musician. We heard from people who food service workers.
Did you get a chance to check out the article that all the places that now you really are supposed to be tipping? And I thought, well, when did that happen? Now, I knew I was supposed to tip bellhops.
Yes.
I thought, okay, I was supposed to tip most food service, but not all.
Okay.
Okay. But then you got to tip your Uber driver. Well, I don't. Why?
Well, because now this is.
Okay.
Now, I don't know about Uber, but
Uber and Lyft.
I thought whenever you. When someone drives you somewhere, you tip them. So,
well, if they get you there faster or expeditiously or something. But I mean, that's the thing.
See, okay, this is just because you do it. And so just me is because that people depend on that. They might be having a bad day. And, you know, $3.30 an hour, you know, a tip might make their day or the next rider's day a little bit better.
Well, check this out.
That's just me. Okay.
Here's the article I sent you, something from it. According to the Department of Labor, tip workers make less than $3 an hour in 24 states and Puerto Rico. They make less than $5 an hour in 12 other states. Restaurant owners said this is okay because it reduces prices and allows with tips for decent take-home pay. Okay, Initiative 77 shined a spotlight on some of the problems with this system. Supporters argue that tip credits prevent many workers from receiving a living wage. They say also some female servers are forced to endure sexual harassment in return for tips. Mm-hmm. Opponents, mostly restaurants, insisted that eliminating the tip credit would harm business, harm workers, and harm consumers. Mm-hmm. It's a game changer, says Kathy Hollinger, president of the Restaurant Association of Metropolitan Washington, which spearheaded the opposition to Initiative 77. One of the largest donors to Save Our Tip System campaign was the National Restaurant Association, which generally opposes any move to raise minimum wages.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, like I said, this is a multifaceted issue. It's not just that simple, but with the change of the millennium came an explosion of who gets tips and more emphasis on tips, you know. So I'm curious. 503-231-8187.
Okay, and you have a thought.
That's me.
That's you.
Hi. Yeah. No. I not really a thought. It's an opinion. It's not an opinion. It's just interesting commentary on someone was talking about overseas, how they round up. I lived in Eastern Europe in the 90s for 10 years, and it was interesting that everybody gets a set salary everywhere. That was the nice thing. I mean, a living wage per se, a living rent, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tip, and people would tip. Like, I lived with a family, and one of them was a doctor, and he would get tipped with, like, you know, flowers, alcohol, whatever,
mm-hmm.
sometimes money. And the restaurants, you would just round up to the next number,
mm-hmm.
round up to that next number. So that was pretty standard. And when I came back to the States, I noticed there was a new trend to tip in places like Dunkin' Donuts, and now it's everywhere.
Yes.
Where you see tip jars everywhere.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
So
if I'm tipping my barista at the coffee shop, why am I not tipping the cashier at AMPM or Ma and Pa?
Good question. It might, as you suggested, in terms of changes of our society and how mm-hmm. we work it. And, you know, one of those articles you sent me,
mm-hmm.
you know, it counters the argument that tipping improves service quality.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in places where I've gotten crap service, and the person knew they were giving me crap service. And I don't know if it was gender or color or a bad day, as you had mentioned earlier. And then they had the audacity to say, "You're not going to tip me? Yeah, here's my tip. Be nice."
The tip comes in many different ways. Yeah. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Do you depend on tips? What industries? Celeste mentioned the expansion of tipping, whether it's
tip your dental hygienist. I don't know. I'm just saying.
But why not?
50 now, not 15.
Why not? But certainly, So in terms of the expansion of tipping, what are some of the things that seems like way out there? So I think driving, you know, a Lyft driver or Uber driver or cab driver, I don't have any problems tipping. That's par for the course. Tip jars on, I don't know, a takeout fast food place.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably low wage workers there.
So where is my money to help me subsidize this? And where does the, see, because like I said, it's multifaceted. It's not just that you're paying part of a salary that the industry doesn't want to pay. You're also paying for service, you know. Now, according to some of our research, tipping started because wealthy people wanted to show off post-Civil War. Right. But some people also say it was a way to pay folks of color less money, you know. But let's hear what other people have to say.
Our numbers, let's go to our next caller. Joseph.
Joseph, good morning.
Good morning. I think I'm speaking to Celeste, and I'm sorry, sir, I forget your name.
Cecil.
Cecil, yes. Sorry. I'm a member since 2002. I love that I came into this program, and I do appreciate what Celeste was saying earlier about the idea. I had no idea minimum wage, that the restaurants were behind keeping tips in and keeping the base wage down. That
makes yes.
all kinds of sense. But as to your comment about tipping the barista versus the AM/PM guy, I tip people who are actually, yes, they're hitting the keys at the AM/PM, and maybe I should consider that, but the barista has a skill they've developed, and they're working hard to make you a good cup of coffee. Then I also tip, because I pumped gas in my early 20s in Michigan in the cold weather, I've always tipped since I came to Oregon. It occurred to me that I was tipping the bartender who pumped my beer, but not the guy who pumped my gas. Wow. So I always tip the people who pump my gas because they're out there running back and forth trying to keep everybody happy, and they don't make a lot. So anyway, I just appreciate the points on your show.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, and for making that distinction about appreciating different aspects of service.
Okay, so
I am seriously behind a livable wage. So the AM/PM guy who's not necessarily who's just hitting the keys on the register should be able to make a living, tipped or not. So thanks for what you're talking about.
All right. Well, thanks for your call.
And let's go to Carl.
Good morning, Carl.
Hi there.
Hi.
So, yeah. So, anyway, I guess my thought is that, you know, we all vote for whatever we vote for, right? Or
yes.
We choose whatever we choose based on our perspective. Just like, so Joseph tips gas attendants, which, you know, you're thinking, well, because that's his perspective. He was a gas pump guy and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so, I mean, I tip because I can. You know, I make enough money that, you know, I don't mind doing that. But,
yes,
you know, I think I'm certainly not a person that would get carried away with tipping because my perspective is that I've worked hard all my life to, you know, just manual labor type of stuff and commission sales and stuff like that. And I, you know, so I have this strong sense of, you know, what I produce, the job that I complete, then, you know, that's, I get paid for that or whatever.
Right.
Anyway, you know, and I think it's just like anything. It's like, you know, everybody has the right to choose, right, to vote. I mean, that's the beauty of this country. We all have the right to vote by tipping or whatever.
Okay.
And whatever your perspective is, I think, you know, that's fine. And, you know, and the, you know, whatever he wants, you know, so that's what he does.
That's true.
So we have to vote, you know. If we have a different perspective, we get to vote.
We're out of
somebody else.
Okay,
we're
well, thanks
time.
For your call. We've got to go to our last caller, Carl.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.
Stan, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Just fine. You only got a few minutes, so.
Okay. I worked in manufacturing all my life. Don't tip. I'm black. My wife is white. She tips all the time.
Uh-huh.
It's a transaction. Nobody tips me for fixing their machines.
That's
you know?
True.
I came in here. The bill says you get this meal served to you for this price.
Hey, would you accept?
If your take home pay won't take you home, then you need to unionize
and get a fair price for your labor.
Well, you get no argument out of me for that. But I think you hit the nail on the head, but I also think it's a pretty complex issue because, as we said, you know, there are a lot of different aspects and reasons for tipping. But thank you, Carl, for adding that whole idea of hidden workers who nobody sees.
Stan.
You have been.
I work graveyard. I don't get seen either.
There you go. There you go.
And I wish I had more time. I called in late. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, call earlier next time.
I will.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for calling in. And, you know, before we could abolish or support the tip system, we still need to have more conversations and work out how that thread runs so deeply through consciousness and our collective economy. But in the meantime, let this thread run through you. The KBOO.FM is your community connection. We'll hear you next week.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meetings policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets the fourth Monday of every month at 4:30 p.m.
All I know, I keep making this fooler. I stay protected, that blue steel it do ya. Yeah, my chick bad and I keep the Kill Bill, yeah. Born and raised, thoroughbred trio. Let's go, let's go. All
I know. Hey, this is Randy West coming from OSP at our annual Yahoo Sasa Talent Show.
Yeah, let me be clear about it. I got it, I got it. You way out of pocket, go bring this shit here. Getting body back, tipping the bottle back. This is a
yeah, this your boy TJ down in OSP, man. I'm telling you, rap music, you know what I'm saying, R&B, you know what I'm saying, got a little bit of comedy up in there, man.
Y'all make sure y'all tune in June 25th at 6:30 p.m. Check out some of these guys from the OSP prison doing their thing, you know. We got a lot of acts and a lot of talent in here to share with the world, so just make sure y'all check that